All right. I'm excited about today. I know I've been excited all week and then constantly changing. There's nothing more pressing and pushing you to encounter God than trying to dive into his word to make sure you are rightly dividing it, to see the message that he has for my life first, and then as we're going through the letter to the saints in Corinth, what is required of us. So our Old Testament reading is going to come from Genesis. My son was joking that I could not come up with an Ezekiel reference, so that's the first time. I thought you said Ezekiel had everything. In this context, I found one that it doesn't, but we're going to be in chapter 11 of Genesis. And this is after the flood. So if you remember back in chapter 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was continually evil. So we have the flood, the account of the flood, and God saved the remnant of his people through Noah and his family. Okay, so wiped out the evilness, saved his remnant, and then what we call the Table of Nations, that's the descendants of Noah, are carrying out the commission again to go fruitful, be fruitful and multiply, go out and multiply to replenish the population. Of course, man's heart is continually wicked, so we're going to step right back into that path. Our Old Testament reading is going to pick up with this unified people with one language, and starting in verse 1 of chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they do not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So we have this example here, and I like connecting the dots. I say that the more you read scripture, the more you're seeing dots connected, and it's a beautiful picture. But what we do see here in this shadow, remember shadows in the Old Testament or types, and we see the substance in the New Testament or what we call the antitype. Well, here we see this example of a shadow, and here's this community of people working together. That's not a bad thing. All right, I'm sure that they had people of different backgrounds and gifts. Somebody knows how to mix up the brick to make it sturdy. Somebody's an engineer to plot out the city and the tower. We have strong men who can lift these bricks. We have others who are better at probably logistics and making sure. But the point is they're working in this community, and their intention is for themselves. All right, notice that. They want to make a name for themselves, lest they be dispersed. So they're seeking their own glory here. Okay, and don't mix up what's saying here. When he says that anything they propose now, nothing will be impossible for them, what he's talking about is the stubbornness of man. All right, they're so hard-headed. Now, this is in their mind to do. They're going to do this, and nothing's going to stop that stubbornness outside of divine intervention. Me being a stubborn person, understand that you have to get that divine kick in the back of the leg to humble you sometimes. So this is what they're talking about in this passage here. And don't miss what God's doing, though. He is dispersing the people. All right, we have diversity, and we can go back to, like I said, the Table of Nations, and then this incident here, where it's God that confounded the languages, God that dispersed them over the whole earth. So the diversity is coming from God because of man's attempt to seek his own glory, and God's going to use this for his glory. So if you go to our New Testament reading, which is going to come from the book of Acts, in chapter 2. Now we're going to look at the antitype to what took place in Babel. And I love the book of Acts. This is the second, this is part 2 of Luke's gospel. So Luke is the author of this. And I love finding new items as you're reading this. Going through our Philippians class, I picked up something that I'd never seen before reading it. So it's good to read your Bible, and it's good to reread your Bible, and it's even better to re-reread your Bible. So, and then we teach each other, and we're collecting our knowledge collectively for the glory of God. So we're going to be in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And this is after Christ's ascension. Okay, so this is, he spent time with the disciples teaching them after his resurrection. Christ has now ascended and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But he promised them a comforter. Okay, so what we're looking at now is the day of Pentecost, the arrival of this comforter, when Christ told him, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that's what we're going to read in these verses here. Chapter 2, verse 1 and following. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said they were filled with new wine. So you see this counterpart to the incident at Babel. All right, again, we have one people. All right, they're in community, they're in this house. All right, specifically in Jerusalem. They're one location. But they are diverse because we see the multinationality of the men there. They're from all over, all right? But there's one people, diverse now, and instead of man trying to ascend to God, God is condescending, sending the promised comforter that Christ had mentioned in a previous chapter and gives them this sign of these tongues so that men are hearing in their own language. Some say it's a gift of tongues, some it's a gift of hearing, both. But the beauty of this is it's one people, they're hearing it in their language, so it's one language, but that's not the important part that we're going to see when we get to Corinth. Everybody focuses on that miracle. That's not the miracle. The miracle is what they all heard, what that one message is, the mighty works of God. We overlooked that. We hear about this miracle of everybody speaking and hearing in their own language. What did they hear? The mighty works of God. So now they have one message. And much like the people in Babel were dispersed, God disperses them. How do we know? That previous chapter when Christ tells them, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So once again, we're going to see dispersing. In the Old Testament, they were dispersed, confused, given this diversity, but here now for God's glory, they're given one message, and they're going to be dispersed for God's glory. So when man tries to ascend to God, he's thwarted. But when God condescends, he saves his people. He gifts them. He graces them. And on that, I meant to mention this more for those of you who are in the Wednesday class on this phrase, condescend. All right, we hear it, and it's always in a negative aspect. All right, if somebody speaks to you condescendingly, they're looking down their nose at you, right? You're beneath them. So we always have this negative connotation. But we're speaking about the holy God of the universe, the creator. All right, that's the only way that he can interact with his creature is by condescending. So when it comes to God, it's not a negative. All right, he is doing something despite regarding it as below his dignity, and it is below his dignity. We can get into the humiliation of Christ, which we just looked at in Philippians. But so when we talk about God condescending, we have to have the right attitude. It's not we're equals and somebody feels superior. It is the superior God of the universe that is condescending to give us anything that we don't deserve. All right, even if we obey him perfectly, all that's doing is exactly what's required of us. So it is condescending. So like I said, I wanted to mention that, and I know that we talk a lot about things, and we realize that that's common to us. This is how we speak to each other. But when we're talking about the God of the universe, we need to make sure we're not putting him as human. That anthropomorphic language where we're giving God these human attributes, that's not God. He is nothing like us. So if you would stand, as is our practice here for the preaching text, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And yes, I know I'm a hypocrite. I read verses that were not up there. That's not the entirety, and that was a quick one, but yes. So I am pointing out the hypocrisy. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Holy God, Father, Son, and Spirit, glorify yourself that your people gather here to worship you today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I know you got a lot of background on the letter of 1 Corinthians. We're continually rehashing, I understand that, but it's just what we do. And this is the first of two letters that we have preserved for us in God's Word. There were letters that were written to Paul, and there were other letters that he references that he wrote back we don't have. So we call this letter 1 Corinthians, which is in reply to some questions that they had of Paul. Okay, so they're asking him some questions. He's replying to them. What we do know, though, about this letter, and if you look at other letters written by Paul, they're encouraging letters and instructive. All right, he sends a lot of letters out, and they're instructive in nature. This particular letter here, though, it's more corrective. All right, so it's not instruction as it is correction. Their actions, he's not telling them how to act. Their actions are causing him to have to correct. So we see that as we've been going over the past several months now in the book of Corinthians. And I like this from Stephen Charnock, though. We often learn more of God under the rod that strikes us than under the staff that comforts us. So I love Paul, and you see that he's still loving in this letter. He is talking to them as their brothers, but it is corrective. And we have this issue in Corinth, though, of self-serving, all right, or the influences of the time. We have, and again, if you haven't been able to listen to the heretics classes, there's a lot of good information there, but Gnosticism in the early church. Corinth, it's very rampant. All right, so Gnosticism, this knowledge, this flesh is bad, spirit is good. Ascetics were there. We saw that in the chapter on sexual immorality. So we have these two schools of thought there that the flesh is irrelevant, that it's only spiritual, so they cast off everything fleshly, or they go to the other extreme, the flesh doesn't matter, so mistreat it and do whatever you want. Okay, so these are influences in the church. They have this almost self-righteous arrogance. All right, like those that were taking the supper without thinking of others, or those who they have their superior knowledge and were forgetting love. So they were letting their knowledge, this Gnosticism, their knowledge of God even, so which is not a bad thing, but this knowledge was superseding caring for their brothers. All right, loving their neighbor was not a thing. They had this superiority where they did, so look condescending down at other brothers. All right, and they almost have this impression that they're already attained the spirituality. Last week, John had talked about that. Not talking about spiritual gift in the first three chapters, talking about being a spiritual person, a spiritual man. What does that mean? And so they almost have this idea that they've achieved it, all right, by their knowledge and by, as we're going to see in the next three chapters, this sign of tongues. Okay, so they had it, and they loved flaunting it at the expense of the brethren. So what we're going to see here is a beautiful picture of unity through diversity, as exampled by our triune God. We saw that now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. All right, talking about gifts here, it's not, we have natural talent, we understand that, which we would agree that everything that we have is from God. Any ability you have, any talent you have is from God. So we're not talking about these natural or genetic gifts, which are also from God. We're talking about these spiritual gifts, graced from God. That's the word even used here, these spiritual gifts that are graced from God, all right, for the purpose that he has, which is the building up of his body. And we'll see that. But these spiritual gifts of divine nature, they're not to be used for the individual only, but for the community. And that's why I took us to these other examples of community there, the building up, working together. But these gifts are to be used for the community. The gathering of the saints is a means of grace. All right, these varieties of gifts. And I know that everybody wants to look at the gifts and start prioritizing them, which is exactly what the Church of Corinth did here, and prioritizing these gifts. All right, we don't have an exhaustive list here, which we'll get into, but we do know that nobody has all the gifts, but all have some gift. The important part, though, is there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. All right, the same Spirit is the one who gives each of these gifts. And we can look at some of these gifts a little bit more in depth when we get to verses 8 and following. But in verse 5, we continue on. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. So variety of service, but the same Lord. So we had variety of gifts and the same Spirit who gives those gifts. And now we have varieties of services and the same Lord. This word for the service is where we get a deacon from, diakonoin. That's the ministry, that's serving. So there are a variety of serving, ways of serving, ministry, but the same Lord. So who are you serving in these ministries? All right, we're serving the Lord by serving his people. These gifts you're given are to be used in relation to serving the Lord in these services. And we have different areas of serving that are needed in the body. All right, I know, and I tell this story sometimes, but especially this week, it's really hit me. I love to teach. If you haven't been in my classes, you see that I do have fun with it sometimes. I teach out in Fort Bragg. I love, especially when it's an area that I love to study, like the Word of God, I love to teach. So, you know, I'm not going to feel that I'm conceited by saying that I have a gift in teaching. It's a passion, definitely. But I wanted to teach when we got back from Okinawa in service. I wanted to serve, but the church didn't have any teaching positions. You know, of course, I'm prioritizing where I want to be. But the bus ministry had some positions that needed to be filled. And I loved the pastor that was working that. I'm asking him, what do you need help with? I can teach. I'll teach anything you want. All they have over there for me is five-year-olds. And I'm not working with five-year-olds. I didn't tell him that part, but that's me. So he's like, I got you, brother. Come on over here. And took me to a class. Yes, with five-year-olds. So my humility started early on with where does God want you to serve? Okay, yes, you have a gift. How do you want to use that gift? Well, I want to use it the way I want to use it. Is that always the way that you're to use that gift? Well, I'm using it to build up the body. Yes, but how does God want you to serve? There are varieties of services in the same Lord. So whether I'm teaching a men's class or I'm teaching those five-year-olds that I got to love, they were crazy and I loved them, but I'm serving the same Lord with that gift in either capacity. Speaking of children, we talk about the gift of tongues here, and there are some people who can just talk to children, all right? Even our younger ones, when they come up babbling to me, I have no idea what you're saying. Let me enunciate, Daddy. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know what you're saying. Aria, come here and translate. Well, she said that over in the room, there was this bug crawling around, and it got up on the pillow, and how did you get all of that from her? Okay, I don't know. That's a gift. I'm not going to say it's a gift of tongues or not, but she can translate. She has a way with those that are younger than her, and it's a gift. And as a father, I'm looking at that, and if I'm grooming her and teaching her the goodness of God, there's services for her to use that gift. As she grows in the Lord, there are services for her to use that gift. We have some that have wisdom and knowledge, Knowledge is book study. You understand that, right? Your knowledge is good. I know math. I've learned math. Okay, wisdom, how do you teach that now? How do you apply that? All right, so there are those who have wisdom, there are those who have knowledge, and there are some fortunate enough that have both. But if not, God still puts gifts in his body so that we can help each other. That might be good with coordinating. All right, there are needs of the church, facilitating, coordinating, logistics. I know I hate logistics, but I'm often having to look at it. Here's the bottom line. Let's look at logistics. There are men and women gifted by God, spiritual gift, with wisdom and knowledge. Counseling. Maybe you have the gift of discernment. That's a service, counseling. Not counseling in a formal setting, but advising. All right, here's an area I'm having problems with, or here's a problem that I'm looking at solutions. And there are those who God has gifted us, brothers and sisters, that can discern, this is coming from you, this is a biblical approach, this is from God, and advise. All right, but there's different services. And these gifts are used to serve the church. So even as I said, those natural gifts, the talent, somebody who's naturally talented at something, that can be used to serve the church. But in this context, we're specifically looking at these spiritual gifts. And we should use all of our gifts to serve the Lord by serving his people. And I loved John used an example of you get a gift from somebody, especially a loved one. So my wife is buying me gifts, and I'm just throwing them in a corner, never opening them. All right, that's sadly the reality of a lot of believers. All right, whether it's because they don't feel emboldened to use that gift, whether they feel discouraged, or whether they just don't care enough about serving God's people with that gift, but throwing it in the corner. And the gift you get is not for you. Probably not a good analogy. We like coffee in my house from Lizzie on up. So if I got a gift that's for coffee, I'm going to share it with the whole family. That's to be used. What if I get this new espresso maker and I never open it? You know, who in my family is going to benefit from that cup of wake-up juice in the morning? Nobody. All right? Same thing. You have a gift that you can use in the church, and you're not using it. I'm saying you generally, so please don't take this as a pointedly at somebody. All right? This has been my conviction for myself in a lot of areas for many years. So, but all are equipped to serve. All right? And we're serving Christ and his bride in some manner. All are equipped to serve. Again, the problem that we've seen in Corinth is that they have this list. Well, yes, all are equipped to serve, but I want to serve here. I want to be that top spiritual whatever. All right? No, all are equipped to serve. And I also looked at my different analogies there, trying to think of how that looked to me, is I did plumbing before joining the military. All right? If you're not familiar with plumbing, it doesn't just start there. You start with a ground that they backhoe and dig trenches. All right, so they lay the clean pipe in. Some people didn't like doing that because out in Arizona, when you're breaking 110 degrees, it's hot out there. All right, then they lay the concrete, and you get a little bit of a frame building and a roof, so now you're running the copper lines and the pipes inside the house. All right, a little bit more shade. All right, then they put the sheetrock up, and you're just putting in the sinks and stuff. All right, that's a little bit better. Some people like that one. But then we had the service guys after the house is built. I have a clogged commode. All right, nobody liked doing that job. I liked the rough end. I liked the sun part, but nobody liked that other job. But you know what? They were all part of serving this capacity. I know it's not a good analogy, but it's one that I relate to because there are some jobs that are, you know, thought of as higher than others. And no, you're serving the same Lord. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. That's what we're missing. All right, there should be no boasting in these gifts either. So again, what we're going to see in chapters 13 and 14, specifically, this boasting of Corinth. I have this gift, and let me show you how gifted I am by showing this gift. That's not how we're supposed to act. Our boasting is in the Lord. We only boast in the Lord. And I've learned there's three ways. So I used to hate getting compliments. All right, I hated that. So you get to the other extents. There's one like, yeah, I am that good, huh? Yeah, yeah, thanks. Gotcha. And there's the other one, no, nothing. All right, well, you know what? Thank them for the compliment and continue serving God. Acknowledge that it is God that's giving you that gift. Thank them for benefiting from that gift because that's what you're supposed to do. You're using that gift to serve your brothers and sisters. They've thanked you for that service. You both praise God and you continue serving. That's what we should have. In any capacity, whatever the gift is, whatever the service is, it's the same Lord. The same Spirit gives us that gift. The same Lord is who we are serving. All right, all ministries are for the same Lord. And what is the example we have from our Lord? All right, he washed feet. Have you washed feet before? If you have kids, I know you wash some grimy, nasty feet, and I don't know how they can get feet that dirty. Like, this is a clean floor. How did you end up getting tar all over it? All right, but our Lord washed feet. And as you've heard, John's mentioned before too, they didn't have indoor plumbing, so when they're walking out in the streets, they're getting everything. These are nasty, nasty feet. All right, our Lord obeyed to a death on a cross. That humiliation that he suffered, all right, that's in service to the will of the Father. And in John, Christ says, no servant is greater than his master, nor messenger than he who sent him. So you've got a gift from the same Spirit that your brothers and sisters have gifts from, to serve the same Lord. And are you greater than the master who's given you that? And then we have in verse 6, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So this is activities. These are works or deeds, effects. All right, these actions as a result of God's working his power through us. All right, it's God who works these things for his glory, for our benefit. The building up of the church is for God's glory and our benefit. Serving each other is for God's glory and our benefit. All right, God's people are acting in his power and with his authority. But notice, though, this distinction. So we have the same Spirit who gifts. We have the same Lord who we serve. And the same God who empowers. So what we're seeing here is this distinction. And yes, we know the word Trinity is not in Scripture, but the triune nature of God is evident. Okay, this doctrine is evident. And what we are seeing here, though, in these just three verses, we've only looked at three verses here, we're seeing this distinction. We're seeing this diversity in the Godhead, yet who would say that the Trinity is divided against itself? God is united. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are united. All right, so there's this diversity and unity, and that's the example for the church. All right, the same Spirit gives the gifts, the same Lord is served by the gifts, and the same God empowers all through the gifts. Diverse and united, and as the Creed says, unity in their Trinity and Trinity in their unity, but the people of God, we're to show unity, but there is diversity. We can't all be the same. All right, we can't all be the same. And I know especially in today's culture, diversity has a different understanding, and that's the focus, is the diversity. Well, if we only focus on the diversity, we're going back to Genesis 11. That's the diversity. There's confusion, there's confounding, there's not talking together, there's dispersion. All right. In God's diversity, it's one people with that one message, which is the mighty works of God. All right, so now we see these gifts, though, that are given so we can share the mighty works of God through our building each other up. And in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So here's the culmination of those previous verses there. These gifts, these various services, this truth of being empowered by God who's working these things through us is for the common good. All right, for the building up of God's people. His people would be edified. This community of believers is the intended life of God's people. All right, and we look at the two examples we had in our Old Testament, New Testament, Babel and Pentecost. All right, there's communities there, one seeking to make a name for themselves and the others seeking to share the name of God. We are to share the name of God. That is our purpose, is to tell others the good works of God. And that can be by our service. All right, that's by our gathering here right now. We are encouraging each other as we are hearing the word of God. All right, and next step is we're going to apply this word of God to our lives. Okay, I know that there are gifts that are not being used. And again, this is part of where the shepherds are to identify and help encourage that. Because sometimes people don't think high enough of themselves. There are some who think too high of themselves, but others who don't think high enough of themselves. It's like, you're gifted in this area. And now we can start helping to encourage that, to use it for the glory of God. Okay, even some, they're like, okay, this is going to be a little bit rougher. We joke about sanctification, and it's like sanding something, and some of us need the grittier sandpaper. You know, some of us, it's the rasp file seal before they even get to the sandpaper. But we're all fine-tuning, being sanctified, and it's an encouragement to help each other through this. All right, and I'm going to bring up a point here. I don't remember the pastor that I can give this credit to, but talking about the gifts again, and don't hear what I'm not saying, as a good friend of mine likes to say. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We are streaming the services. We are putting the classes and the sermons up for our brothers and sisters who cannot be here, or those who are looking at our church to see what we teach, what we believe, or you missed one and you're trying to catch up on a series. All right, this is the purpose of these online classes and sermons we're doing. It is not to replace the gathering together. And I can't emphasize that enough, because what this pastor had said, though, was the online church, those who have now relegated themselves to online church only, it's like getting invited to this prestigious wedding. This good friend of yours, this loved one, has invited you to their wedding. All right, and you got this awesome gift for them. But instead of attending the wedding, you're going to watch it online and throw that gift over on your coffee table. All right? That kind of hit me there too. And I love it. Again, don't hear what I'm not saying. There are times I understand that. It is for a season. It is for specific. We have shut-ins who are not going to be able to get here. I understand that. All right? But that should not be the norm. How can you use your gift to serve the body if you're not meeting with the body? All right? That's my encouragement for this here, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, all right? They wanted to have a manifestation of the Spirit through this show of tongues, and again, that's still practical today. That's not saying anything. I'm not going to get into whether it's an angelic tongue or not, because we're going to go into that in chapters 13 and 14, but what I am going to show, though, is what Paul is saying here is whatever gift you have, it's to serve the body. If it's not serving the body, what are you doing with it? If you're hiding it, why are you doing that for? Okay, so it's supposed to be for the common good. And this is how you manifest the Spirit. That same Spirit who manifests that Spirit for the common good by using these gifts in service to our God. And there's some parallel verses here, so I am going to go to those. And these are also from Paul in Ephesians 4. Verses 11 and 13, Paul says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." All right, so again, he's speaking about the purposes of these, all right, for the building up of the body, until we all attain that unity. That's what we're striving for. And again, Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 12, we read, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." So we see this again, different letters to different people of God in different areas, same message. The mighty works of God. You have been given a gift to use for the building up of God's people. Now we're going to go through this is a non-exhaustive list. This is not all of the spiritual gifts that the New Testament records, but we do look at a list here that Paul has given to this in this section to the letter to the saints in Corinth. Starting in verse 8, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit." I like this breakdown in a commentary. It says that this list of gifts here is broken down into three categories, and I agree, you've seen that here. We have the teaching gifts, which we just read, wisdom and knowledge. And then we're going to read about these supernatural gifts, which are faith, healing, and miracles. And then these communicative gifts, which are prophecy, discerning, spirits, tongues, and interpretation. But he starts off there with, for one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same spirit. So the same spirit, with these variety of gifts, gives one wisdom, one knowledge. And again, some may have multiple, but that's not the point. We're not doing a checklist to see which ones we've collected. Okay, it's how we use this one spirit. And those are to be used for teaching the body, wisdom and knowledge. Those are also used in conjunction, especially if you have the discerning spirits, with advising, with counseling, all right, consoling. You have this wisdom to apply this knowledge. It is a great use to the people of God. That second group, though, the supernatural, we have to another faith by the same spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and we'll get into the communicative ones there, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. As I said, that Paul's list here is not all of the gifts, and he does finish with the tongues, and I believe that's because we're going to see that continued in this chapter. We're going to see that in verse 13, and we're going to see that in verse 14. All right, I believe what the people of God here did, they looked at the miracle of Pentecost, but they looked at the wrong miracle. What was the miracle of Pentecost? The mighty works of God. Everyone heard the mighty works of God. What these believers are doing is focusing on a gift. Okay, again, whatever that was, if it was interpretation, because Corinth is a city that had multilingual. All right, so there was need for interpreters. But then we're going to read that they're using this in worship. So I don't know exactly what it is, but we do know that it's to be used for the building up of God's people. All right, and it's the same spirit. So the same spirit that gives these gifts, the same spirit who gave healing and miracles and faith. And faith is a miracle. We're not talking about the saving faith. That is a miracle in itself. All right? That God would redeem his people is a miracle. We always want to see supernatural, though. I want to see this supernatural gift. And we saw examples of that where, no, I'm not going to show them that miracle because then they'd believe. I don't believe that means a saving belief, but they're going to believe. All right? We're looking for a David Copperfield type of experience instead of what did take place was supernatural. All right? Heart surgery, removing a heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh and writing his law on your heart, that's supernatural. All right, that's a supernatural truth that we can look to. But they were looking at these signs. All right, but notice in all these, though, it's the same spirit. All right, the same spirit. And we know, going back to the teaching ones, wisdom and knowledge, that Corinth prided themselves on their knowledge. I remember that before. Well, we have this knowledge, so Paul responds, of course, everybody has this knowledge. All right, so the Gnosticism there, this knowledge and wisdom, was elevated. So I like that he sandwiches it, starts with this wisdom and knowledge, and then he's going to end with the tongues and the interpretation. But they forgot that it was not wisdom and knowledge, but love. Okay, it was not wisdom and knowledge, it was love that they were missing. Then the faith, healing, and miracles. And the purpose of those gifts was to increase faith and grow the circle of God's people. All right? And we won't get into too much of it here because it is a longer conversation, but we do have those that are, you know, the cessationists, that all the gifts are done and for a time, but then we also understand that our sovereign God is not beholden to what we understand. So whether that's necessary or not to get somebody to believe, we're looking in context at this time. These gifts of faith, healing, and miracles was for God's purpose to increase faith and to grow his circle of people. All right, so people were believing based on these signs. But man was the instrument and God was the agent. All right, we even see some examples where Paul, one, he was not healed, so his prayers for healing didn't work for him. And there are at least three instances where he's talking about those in his circle close to him who were not healed. All right, so if Paul was able to heal, he was not able to heal these. All right, that's why he even tells Timothy to drink a little bit of wine. All right, he was not able to heal his ailment. All right, so these gifts are, again, from God. They are meant for God's purpose. Man is the instrument, and God is the agent. And that's for all of them. But in getting into prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation, this prophecy Yes, we look at prophecy, and there are two thoughts of that. There was the Old Testament prophets who were foretelling, all right, proclaiming this truth of God to come, but proclaiming the truth of God. So there are prophecies, and what are you doing? Well, we're proclaiming the word of God. All right, so when you hear prophecy or prophet, a lot of people still do that. I've got a new revelation that I'm going to tell you this and that. That was necessary for a time, especially in the Old Testament. This was proclaiming the word of God. Well, proclaiming the word of God today now is we pick up any of the books of God here and explain his truths, the mighty works of God, the mighty works of God. All right, the prophet is proclaiming the mighty works of God, which we have revealed to us in his word. All right, but prophets were not above the church, but members of the church. So again, even in that, if that's what was going on there, and that was the gift being used, not just for proclaiming, not just for teaching, but they were not above the church. They were members of the church, members of the body. All right, testing the spirits. And John mentions that to test the spirits to see whether it's from God or another spirit. All right, oftentimes we get in our heads, we're trying to do the right thing. And yes, we're praying, but we get an idea. And those of you in the military have heard of the Good Idea Fairy. All right, the Good Idea Fairy sounds awesome sometimes, but there are people like, you know what? You might want to back up a second. You missed these other three signs because you were so focused on this Good Idea Fairy. You know, would God really want this? Ah, the end result looked good, but I missed these other areas. So there are gifted men and women with discernment to tell you that's probably not of God. Okay, there are things that look good and they're probably not of God. Test the spirits. All right, and that is difficult sometimes. Well, I have two choices here and I can't discern and nobody can help me. Sometimes that's how it is. All right, we know that we can give ourselves false messages. We know that there are evil principalities that can give us false messages. All right, discerning the spirits. And the last two, as I said, were the cause of Corinth's controversies. And chapter 14 is dedicated entirely to that, but we will see more. But they did worship with this tongue, this language, so we'll see what that means. But finishing up in this section of reading here, in verse 11, all these, speaking of the list of gifts, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. He apportions to each one individually as he wills. Doesn't matter what gift you want. All right? Matters what gift you have. All right? And you're going to use that gift to the various services. That is God's plan for us. And why and how? Because they're empowered by one and the same Spirit. The one who apportions them according to his will is the same one who empowers them. You want to see supernatural? Use your gift. That gift is empowered by the same Spirit who gave it to you. How's that not supernatural? Well, I'm just serving in this little ministry, right? You're using the same Spirit that gave it to you to empower that gift. That's supernatural. That's glorious. You're proclaiming the works of God. He redeemed the people. He gifted people to serve each other. How is that not beautiful? One and the same Spirit works all these things, giving them as he desires. And remember, seeking their own glory, even though they were working in a community, and I'm sure there were gifts, the people of Babel were scattered and confused. Seeking his glory, the people of God from Pentecost and the power of the Spirit scattered to proclaim the mighty works of God, the good news, the gospel. The gifts given of the Spirit are to be used for the bride in service to the groom. We serve the groom by serving his bride. There are various services. There are varieties of gifts to be used in those services. All right, it's all through the power of the one God. I'm going to close in 1 Peter, actually. And in 1 Peter, since I use a lot of Paul's writings, and I've mentioned that before, there are some that want to get rid of the majority of the New Testament by excluding all of the Pauline letters, which is 13, 14, if you credit Hebrews, as a lot of us do. But we can also find these same truths going to the other authors of books in the New Testament. And this is the Apostle Peter, in chapter 4 of his first letter, verses 7 and following. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There are brothers and sisters here who can help another brother and sister. Okay, if somebody is grieving, you can grieve with them. You can serve. You might have the spiritual gift of compassion, all right, of mercy. Some of us are more gruffy than others, but there might be some merciful people out there that in their grace, gifted by the Spirit, can comfort someone. All right, there are those who are generous, and there's a need. All right, there are brothers and sisters here who meet that need. We see it over and over again. People are serving. All right, people are serving. Let's not stop that. And let us identify other gifts. Let's encourage others. Right, there are gifts out here. We all can serve. There are gifts that we can use in service to the bride and service to the bridegroom, our Lord. All these are empowered by one and same Spirit. All right, compassion, teaching, discerning, charity, hospitable. All right, there are some that are just very hospitable. All right, I'm overwhelmed by some of the hospitality that I've been a receiver of. Like I didn't realize it. I've had people been hospitable to me before, but some people are gifted at hospitality. All right, some are gracious. Some, their exhortation is beautiful. Some, their prayer and faith. All right, some still have that beautiful gift of faith. All right, and their faith is not something that that's exaggerated today. Not that kind of faith with this prosperity, but they have the faith. But they also have the Spirit of Truth, where, as the three Israelites in Daniel's time, you know, even if God doesn't save us, we're still going to be faithful. All right, that kind of faith. This diversity in our unity. All right, we are diverse. All right, but we are united. We're unified in one Spirit, one Lord, and one God. All right, and all these are empowered by that one and the same Spirit. So that's my encouragement that we would serve. There are areas that need to be serving, and I get that sometimes. I'm not good at the area that needs to be served here, but I do have a gift that can be used to help with that. All right, so those are the things we need to look at. What are your gifts? What areas need to be served? And there are some people that are gifted to be able to use that. I'm going to take this part, use it over here, move it around, and checkmate. All right, we are the people of God. We are the bride. We are to serve each other. We serve our Lord by serving each other. So that is my admonition for us this week. There's going to be areas that we can serve outside of this church. There are brothers and sisters that are not meeting with us right now. All right, there are brothers and sisters we don't know are brothers and sisters, but use your gift. All right, whatever that gift is, use it for the glory of God, sharing the mighty works of God. Let's pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we love you. You alone are good, Lord. You alone are worthy of our everything, our adoration, our praise, our thanksgiving, our love, our obedience, Lord. You alone are the giver of life and everything good in us. May your word speak to us and comfort us as we live in this fallen world. Let our eyes be turned to you this week, Lord. Help us to respond as your people in everything we do. And teach us to seek to use your gifts given to us for the building up of your people. Let us be a community of your people who are known to be yours by our love for one another, that they will know we are yours by our love for each other. We thank you now as we seek to live our lives according to you and worship you in spirit and truth every day this week, Lord. We give you all the